Hugs.
All right, we can go back to James chapter 1. And I'm going to just go ahead and read the whole chapter. But we're going to concentrate on the last part of the chapter because we already went over the first 18 verses. Uncle Donnie, you okay? You got me? You hear me? We're good? Louder? How's that? Better? Better. Okay. Okay. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen and the burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So, most everybody was here a few weeks ago when I shared on James 1, the first 18 verses. And basically, James is giving us a practical approach to our religion. He says, study the word, read the word, learn the word, and then live the word. Be doers of the word. So I wanted to just extend this to the last 8 verses and just kind of go over each one. I have some practical examples as well. So the first verse in James 1:19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I kind of took this verse for the week and said it out loud a few times at work. especially the last part. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And I didn't say it to, you know, everybody I met, but I did kind of just remind some of my Christian friends at work. I have nurses that I work with. I have doctors that I work with. And I just said that and put it in their heart and let them kind of think about it. So the first concept here, though, is the idea of being coachable or teachable. The worst thing for a high school baseball coach is to have a kid who's been coached by his dad for the past 6 years and he's been coached wrong. He doesn't know how to throw a ball. He throws it wrong. Or a kid who doesn't know how to shoot a basketball coming onto the high school team and the coach has to undo everything. And some of us have been doing this quote-unquote Christianity thing a long time. And some of us have bad habits. And the question is, can you change them? And are you open to the possibility that you might be wrong about certain things? And I was listening to the radio this week, and I actually don't see a verse in the Bible that says, do not smoke. I don't see any verse that says, do not dance. But I know there are churches that teach that that's a sin to smoke, and it's a sin to dance. And some of these things are man-made, and we're free in Christ. I mean, if the Bible says don't do it, okay, I'm all right, I'm good. But there are things that we make up in our little man-made laws. You may have thought this way or that for the whole life, but it might not be true. So, my beloved brethren, these are the ones that I love, pay attention, and don't be swift to speak or swift to anger. Train yourselves. So human nature often is quick to speak, and we're also quick to get angry. So if you think about the last time that you got angry, you might have been driving, you could have been shopping, you might have been speaking on the phone with somebody at a business that was rude to you. Now, consider an alternative. Train yourselves to be quick to listen. Now, I confess, and you guys that know me well know that I struggle with this issue personally, that I need to learn how to control my tongue. Proverbs 9, verse 9 teaches us, give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in listening and in learning. So when we listen, we learn to hear the words as well as hear the spiritual lessons. Do you ever spend time before God to ponder some of the difficulties in your life? Do you ever ask God to reveal to you the message that He's trying to teach you? In Proverbs 8:34, we read that, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. I want to just stop here and give a little example. I don't know how you guys are, but sometimes I think I can't change. Like, this is my nature. This is the way I am. You know, people say stuff to me and I'm just going to talk. I just want to give an example of how we can change. Most of you, or many of you, remember back in the 1980s when Ronald Reagan got shot. When a president gets shot, he has Secret Service men nowadays that surround him. When somebody fires a gun, human nature says, duck, run, get out of the way. Somebody's shooting. Secret Service officers are trained that when somebody shoots, you get in the way. You do exactly the opposite. You go in front of the president and protect him and take the shot. Well, that doesn't come willy-nilly. That doesn't come naturally. They actually train to do that. And we can train ourselves to close our lips, to be quiet, to listen, and we can train ourselves to be slow to anger and slow to speak. It does take training, though. Jesus teaches us in the parable of the sower in Luke 8, verse 15, "But the ones that fell on the ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." So the first thing that happens to those where the seed fell, we must first listen and hear the word with a noble and good heart. And then we must keep the word and bear fruit with patience. We need to restrain our tongues and be slow to speak. Solomon teaches in Proverbs 13:3, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." And in Proverbs 21, "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles." So, I don't know about you guys, but I'd like to keep my soul from troubles, and I'd like to avoid destruction. 1 Peter 3:10 says, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." Consider for a moment how little you would say each day if you only said things which are good and encouraging. I'll tell you what you would not be. You would not be complaining. You would not be grumbling. You would not be bragging. You would not be demanding. You would not be rude. You would be quiet. And to do this, you must train yourself to have self-control. Solomon again teaches in Proverbs 14, "He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is short of spirit exalts folly." And in Proverbs 19, he says, "The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression." So what about discretion? Think for a minute about what made you angry recently. And was it really a big deal? Were you still angry the next day? Did you even remember the issue the next day? We often get angry when things don't go our way. I shared this the other day. I have a personal battle at work. And my personal battle at work is I'm compulsive. And I'm kind of a weird doctor. I like to run on time. Not everything is my fault when we don't run on time. Patients show up late. They have to do paperwork. They show up on time, but they show up at their appointment time and they have 15 minutes of paperwork. The techs might be having a cup of coffee when the patient shows up, whatever the reason. So I have to train myself not to get angry when we get behind. Now, it's one thing to not be angry, and it's another to not be sarcastic when people ask you about what's going on. "How you doing? You caught up?" "No." So my day goes better for me and everyone around me if I overlook a transgression. I try to see all the patients that show up, even if they show up 5 minutes or 30 minutes or even 60 minutes late. And that happened to me on Friday. It means I'll be late, and it means I have to apologize to the patients, even if it isn't my fault. So my nature is so compulsive that I really do have to train myself. But we are to be slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Psalm 37 says, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm." And Proverbs 22 counsels us to make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go. So we need to question ourselves. Are we angry? And if so, why? It's okay to be angry sometimes, but we're not to get there quickly. We must remember that our wrath does not bring about the righteousness of God. We won't beat anyone into salvation. We need to remember our goal. Our goal is God's righteousness. And we need to let the Holy Spirit teach every individual. So therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. We're called to forsake sin. So we have to first confess our sins. In Proverbs 28, we read, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." And also in Isaiah 55, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now remember, this is a hard one, the Bible's speaking to us. So when you read that, "Let the wicked forsake his way, he who covers his sins will not prosper," I don't know about you, but I like to read that and think of somebody else. Think of that guy at work, or think of that guy in my family that, oh man, he needs to forsake his ways. But the Bible's talking to us. Forsake your ways. And one of the things we need to do is confess our sins. Now that sounds simple. But to confess your sin, you actually have to sit and ponder it and say, well, where am I sinning? What am I doing? Because we read here that he who covers his sin isn't doing the right thing. "Search your heart and cast aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. Have a spiritual receptivity. Acknowledge your lowly position, one of need." We need the work and the word of God. We need the word of Christ, the word of truth, the pure milk of the word of life which is able to save your souls. Believe in the word that God gives us. Believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. His word is truth. Can I get an amen, Mike? All right. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does." We're to seek out teaching. We come to worship, we come to Bible studies, we listen to teaching on the radio, and we read good books, and this is great. We can even reflect on these things and let our heart be convicted. But if these lessons don't affect how we live our lives, the Bible says we are useless. We may agree. We may say amen to everything the preacher says. But if we go on living our lives without any further thought about God's ways, then we're deceiving ourselves. Now, going back to this analogy that James uses, a hearer of the word, not a doer. He's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself and goes away. So, I don't know, maybe I'm different, maybe I'm the same as you guys. When I look in the mirror, I'm usually focused on getting the hair off my face or combing my hair. One or the other. I'm not looking for blemishes. So today, I sat there for a second and looked at the blemishes. Because usually I go away and I forget what I look like. But it turns out I have a little red thing here, and I have a little pimple here, and I have a little spot over here. That if I don't look at myself and say, where are my blemishes, I don't see them. And so this is the analogy to look at ourselves and think about your blemishes, I guess, for a little while, and know what they are and do something about them. Confess your sins. Moses taught the people in Deuteronomy 4, "And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments that you might observe them in the land which you cross over to possess." So we are to learn God's statutes and judgments in order to observe them. We're not to hear the teaching, acknowledge our blemishes, and then go away into our week in our world and forget about our filthiness. So, again, keeping this real personal, I think about my life when I was 17, 18. I went to church almost every Sunday in my whole life. I missed very few Sundays. Even when I was in college and I wasn't walking in the Lord, on Sunday morning, it was just
I got up and I went to church. That's just what I did. And I was definitely that person that looked in the mirror and walked away and forgot what I looked like, because I didn't think about church other than, you know, whatever, 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. I mean, the rest of the week I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing. And that's not what we're supposed to do. We're to change our lives and wash away the filth, lay them aside like a dirty garment, and do the will of God. Isaiah teaches us in chapter 1, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. We get a good picture of self-deception when we read about the church of the Laodiceans in the Revelation in chapter 3. And you'll remember, this is the lukewarm church that Jesus says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And he says that because they say, I am rich. I have become wealthy. I have need of nothing. And do not know that they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. We also see the grace of God and his mercy at work as Jesus offers a path to salvation for this miserable church. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed. We can't be indifferent to the teaching of God's word. We cannot listen carelessly. The word is life and is meant to change us. My question to you today is, are you changing? Did you change in 2012? Did you change in January? Did you change this week? Look into the Word and let it show you a reflection. Don't forget what you see, but cast off all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Be obedient to the Word. God promises blessings when we are obedient. And we find these promises all over the Bible, but we find a lot in Deuteronomy. When you're in distress, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey His voice, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Scripture teaches over and over that obedience results in blessings. We are obedient because we want to please our Father, not because we want blessings. But God promises abundant blessings to those who walk in His ways. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. So why does the tongue need to be restrained? Because it speaks evil. We should not be so ready to speak of the faults of others. This really does not build us up in God's eyes. I don't know why it's so hard to restrain our tongues from talking about the faults of others, but it is. Jesus cautions us against these things. He cautions us against thinking we're religious in Matthew 6. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Bridling the tongue also means to avoid vain talk. We're not to speak about things without knowledge. We're not to have many words like the wind. Job, in the book of Job, they talk a lot about that. You know, these guys that come and they're just talking and talking and talking just to hear themselves talk. We're not to speak lies. We're not to speak slander. Solomon teaches us, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. And you guys probably know people that tell you everything. I mean, the social media today is way too much information. People say everything, but a wise man holds back. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. False religions may be known by their impurity and uncharitableness. Moses teaches us about true religion in Deuteronomy chapter 10. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And of course, Micah teaches us about pure and undefiled religion in Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So James gives us some practical examples of Christian charity: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. This idea of keeping oneself is worthy of pondering, to keep yourself. It's present throughout the Bible. And if you go to the Thompson chain, it's number 8:12, we want to keep ourselves. It's the idea of having good conduct or good character. We are to keep ourselves from a false matter. Diligently keep yourself, lest you forget. Keep yourself from every wicked thing. I kept myself from iniquity. Keep your heart with diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself from idols. Our motivation is always to please our Lord Jesus. Only in him can we have good conduct and good character. So hear the word, take it to heart, ponder the word, study it, let your heart be convicted, and then go out and be a doer of the word, to the glory of God. Amen.